And on the phone right now, Dan Ashby. Dan Ashby. And Dan, good morning. You're on the Quake now. You're on your way. You're in traffic on the Bay Bridge, and you're on your way into San Francisco as part of the legal action that's breaking news being filed in California to halt use or purchase of the Diebold voting machines in the state.
Yeah, that's right. There's going to be a press conference at 10:30 at 3 Embarcadero Center, 10th floor. That's the law offices of Howard Rice Nemirovsky, the firm that is bringing the suit, and the lead counsel is Lyle Finley, probably the preeminent election attorney in the United States. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. So the issue is that you may recall that in November it was revealed that the Diebold systems have a serious hack attack path, and they were temporarily decertified. And then in February 17th, the Secretary of State of California, McPherson, recertified them on the basis of a make-quick study by three consultancy hired on the side, who said that if you made a few physical custody adjustments, you could probably have a safe election. But that doesn't get around the fact that you have interpreter code in there, which is outlawed by the federal guidelines, which govern the spending of HAVA money and the purchase of these systems, and is adopted as law in California. You cannot have interpreted code in a voting system. And the reason is that interpreted code is a language that can modify the rest of the software system on the fly. So you can't have any assurance of what kind of software is operating on election day.
Well, you know, this is Willie Brown, and I just wonder where all these people were when poor Kevin Shelley was making this case and being so vilified by everybody because of his other or alleged relationships. He was on the point from day one with reference to these machines. He continued to be on point, and he was literally hounded out of office, in part orchestrated because of his position on these machines. And in many cases, it was local election officials who raised questions about whether or not he was doing this for political purposes, not because technically there could be the potential for some results not consistent with how people voted. So I hope as you and all of your advocates proceed, you'll name this the Shelley Liberation Effort.
Oh, absolutely. We consider Shelley a hero of the movement and far ahead of his time. California at that time was the first state to proactively move against these threatening electronic voting systems. And you're correct. He was hounded from office. And you have to look upon it as part of an orchestrated plan. First, we ejected the Democratic governor. Then we ejected the Democratic Secretary of State. Do you see the pattern? California is the next Ohio.
Mr. Ashby, have other states decertified these machines?
Yeah, there's been Maryland went all Diebold and then is seriously considering getting rid of them now. And other states around the country have had serious cost overruns and equipment breakdowns and scandals of misreported votes. So it is widespread. And Diebold is actually, you know, going down in flames, but we really have to make sure that we nail them good in California. They had their chance to be ejected 2 years ago in 2003, and they were let off with a slap on the wrist, relatively a $2.6 million fine. Actually, they should be banned from operation. Their software is unfit for any election.
Where are they based?
Well, the corporate headquarters is Ohio, but the election division headquarters is in Texas.
And that is the division that Mr. Shelley was dealing with when he served as Secretary of State. And again, the relationships of those Texans, not unlike the Enronites, etc., they are really hard, tough, mean players.
Yep.
And believe me, they play
hard
the game.
Now, well, good morning again. This is Paul Wells with you. We have Dan Ashby, who had to pull over on the Bay Bridge to get to a payphone to be able to talk to us this morning, on his way to the press conference for the legal action to be filed in California to halt use of and purchase of the Diebold machines. Dan, you're with the California Election Protection Network?
That's correct.
Now, explain to people, though, who Wally Diebold is.
Well, Wally Diebold is the chairman of the entire Diebold company. They make ATMs and burglar alarms and all kinds of other products. The Diebold Election Systems, DESI, is a subsidiary that does election machines. It's a relatively small part of their business. And really, the focus should be more on DESI than on Wally Odell.
Didn't they buy this component of their business? They didn't create this component of their business, as I recall. They actually did not do the research that developed it. They simply acquired it.
Oh, that's right. And that's the whole history of voting systems, the mergers and acquisitions starting in the mid-'80s. And they bought it from Global Election Management Systems. And GEMS, in turn, bought theirs from an even earlier version. And the software was written by a convicted computer embezzler named Jeff Dean. He's the main software architect. And this software, down all the generations, is relatively unchanged from the original versions, which appear to have been built with trapdoors built in expressly for the purpose of rigging elections.
Isn't it possible that the system and the programs that are used for things like ATM could ultimately be employed in a safe, comfortable way to do the election process in this nation?
Actually, I don't think so. Most computer scientists will tell you that even if you had open source code, which is open to public review, and that hundreds of thousands of eyes can look at the code, even then it's still possible to hide things in code. And the preeminent computer scientists of our time back in 15 years ago wrote papers demonstrating how it's possible to write Trojan horses that erase their own traces but emerge at a certain predetermined time or situation to change the code internally. Even the best software hackers and authors will tell you you can never be sure exactly what's inside a software machine.
And so your network organization is not only advocating the abolition of the use of this machine and this process, but you're also trying to establish, I take it, a method by which elections can be tested for purity.
Yes, we do. We believe that the ultimate standard is actually the hand-counted paper ballot with the thorough system of audits and chain of custody, and we could get back to that situation, but it would be a transitional phase, probably. In addition to these DRE machines, the other half of the voting population is covered by optical scan, but those are still being operated by the same private corporations with secret software on their scanners and their tabulators. The only difference is with an optical scan ballot, you actually have a card ballot, a physical artifact that potentially could be recounted by hand. But the difficulty is that recounts have been practically made impossible by financial barriers imposed on the voters and just the intransigence of registrars of voters who do not want to be bothered with hand recounts. But we really have to have a hand count auditing system to have any confidence in the outcome of elections.
So you're talking about back to the future.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. There's never been a more appropriate voting technology developed than hand counted paper ballots.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to have some air time on this issue. I appreciate it very much.